It's a blessing to have Brother Larry, who's going to be coming and preaching and bringing the message this morning. And he's been a help to many people with the ministries that he is overseeing and is working at the Abundant Life Ministry on Saturday and then the class. And he's been a big blessing to many people. And I know this morning he will be a blessing to us as well. And so I'm excited to hear him preach, and I've been looking forward to it for quite some time. As soon as I heard that he was going to be bringing the message this Sunday morning, I said, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. And so I'm going to have a word of prayer, and as I pray, then the special will come, and they'll be ready to sing for us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this part of the service. I thank you for the preaching. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that you have given us and the words that are from your mouth that can speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Lord, we thank you that we have a messenger as well. God, it's a blessing to have Brother Larry come and bring the message. Lord, we pray that you would come and you'd stir our hearts and that you would have full control over the service this morning as Brother Larry preaches. In Jesus' name we pray and amen.
Joseph went to Egypt land, he wasn't there alone. He knew the Lord was there with him, though he was far from home. In every test that Joseph had, he did as he should. Though others meant to do him harm, God meant it all for good. God is good through every trial and test. God is good, and I know purpose of his plan. Still I understand God is good. Endure each test God sends to you and seek the Lord each day. When things are tough, God's strong enough to help you find your way. Remember Joseph trusted God, did the best he could. In every trial Joseph found, God meant it all for good, for good. God is good through every trial and test. God is good, and I know the
God is good. That ought to be enough to make a Presbyterian want to shout. Think about that for a little bit. Yeah. Man, that's good. That's all right. All right, I just wanted to say real quickly, I really, really appreciate Preacher allowing me to preach to you guys. I understand what an incredible honor that is. I don't take that for granted at all. I'm looking across the room and I see all kinds of people who easily could preach, and two men right behind me, you know, on staff, and they could be preaching, and you know, but he chose to let me do so. So I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, but we're going to find out. So I do appreciate that. And let me also say, I understand. I say this every time I come up, but I mean it. I can't be preacher. I can't, you know, he's amazing. You know, I've been here almost the entire time that he's been here. Some of y'all know my story. He's the one who brought me to church. He used to have a bus route and came knocking on our door and got me to come to church. And, you know, he means an awful lot to me. And I still, these years later, I sit there. You can ask my wife, she thinks I'm crazy. You know, I'm sitting there and he's preaching and stuff. And, man, I get excited, you know. And I'm shaking it. So I'm with you, Brother Caleb, you know, and have a good time and everything. And, you know, she's always, you know, you need to stop. You know, so I can't, you know, English people, stuffy, I tell you, you know. I can't help that, you know. It just so he means an awful lot to me, and I appreciate that. And I do appreciate that song. I appreciate the choir song. That was a blessing. Some of y'all know my mother was murdered 9 years ago, and on that night that she was murdered, I came to church on a Sunday, May the 16th, and the choir was singing that song, No More Night. And every time I hear it, I think of my mom. And she's in heaven. You know, and I know she's looking down in that great cloud of witnesses, and I appreciate her more today than I probably ever have. And I'm glad God gave me a wonderful mother, and I appreciate the choir for singing that song. It just kind of takes me back in time and makes me think about her just again. And so I really, really do appreciate that. If you look in the book of Mark, chapter number 6, please. Mark chapter number 6, and we're looking at verse number 45 through 52. Mark chapter number 6, verses 45 through 52. If we could stand for the reading of God's word, I would appreciate it. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. If you get a new to your Bible, that's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, second book. It's a wonderful thing. Matthew, Mark, chapter number 6, and we're looking at verse 45 through 52. If you could, read the even verses with me. I'll read verse 45, you read verse 46 with me, and we'll do that way all the way to the end. Here we go. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let me say something real quick before we pray. I find this passage very interesting. You know, the Bible says in Psalms, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When you read the Bible, you ought to meditate on it. You ought to think about it. You ought to let it ruminate in your mind. And so sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I start to meditate and think on what God has said. And it's amazing to me the truths that kind of pop out. And so I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking to myself, I've read this 1,000 times. And yet for some reason, this really stood out to me what I'm about to preach here in a second. Can you imagine that these men thought Jesus Christ was just some spooky spirit? Jesus Christ. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I got to wonder to myself, how could the men who walked with Jesus could not see Jesus walking? How is it that the men who knew Jesus did not know Jesus? How is it that those who had seen him do miracles could not see him in the miracle? They thought he was some spooky, weird spirit, and here it is, the one that they should have known better than anybody else. I was just amazed by that thought, and I got to thinking to myself, you know, a lot of Christians can end up like that. A lot of Christians can find themselves in that predicament, and so I want to talk to you just a little bit about reasons why we can't see Jesus. And I want to preach a message to you called, Can You See Him Now? If you'll hold on with me, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons of why we can't see Jesus, and at the end, you will understand what the title means, Can You See Him Now? Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for these folks. I thank you so much for them being faithful to church, Lord. What a blessing, honor, and a privilege to be able to preach to them. Lord, I pray that you would use me in just a special way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I said, I'm just flabbergasted when I think about the fact that these men who have been with Jesus didn't know who it was. But can I tell you that there are times and places in our lives where we can find ourselves not understanding and not knowing exactly how God is working in our lives. There's places and times that Christians, I'm talking about folks who go to church every week. I'm talking about people who read the Bible. I'm talking about folks who pray. I'm talking about people who go soul winning. I'm talking about folks who are serving the Lord. And yet, some way, somehow, we find it difficult to be able to see the Lord at certain times and places in our lives. Can I tell you this? That you're not a bad person simply because you might have hit one of those moments in times. These were the disciples. These were the men who would later become the apostles. These are the men who delivered the word of God to us. These are the men that God had used in a mighty way. They were not just low down, no good for nothing Christians. These were top shelf fellas. And can I tell you, you can be a top shelf Christian. You can be somebody who's serious about God, and yet you can still find yourself having trouble figuring out how to see him. And so I just want to this is going to be so simple, really, it's kind of sad, but I figured out something a long time ago that, you know, if I can understand it, most other people could, and so I'm not going to try to wow you with any deepness or anything. I'll just give you a bunch of simplicity and try to help you, all right? And so, number one, let me tell you that a storm will cause you not to see Jesus. Look again at verse number 48. The Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. There was a storm brewing on that sea. And because there was a storm, they had a tough time seeing the Lord. And can I tell you that everybody everywhere has to face storms? And when you go through some stuff, can I just say it like that? When you go through some things, you find yourself sometimes having a tough time seeing the Lord. You find yourself wondering to yourself, man, am I in this by myself? Is anybody with me? And I'm telling you, these disciples, they were in the storm and they're just trying to make it. Anybody been there? They're just trying to make it. They're just trying to make it. Good night, we're going to die. We're not going to survive. And here comes the Lord walking on the sea. We don't know who that is. All we know is we're trying to make it. And brothers and sisters, sometimes you're out here in life just trying to make it. And when you're trying to make it, sometimes it makes it difficult to be able to see the Lord walking in your storm. What am I talking about, this thing of storm? You know, there are some in financial distress. You got more bills than you got money. Can I tell you, you're in the storm? There are some with serious health issues. wondering if you're going to make it, can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are some with job troubles, whether you need one or the one that you have, you're having trouble at it. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are some who feel so alone. You're in the midst of people, and yet you feel all by yourself. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are some who are grieving over the loss of someone who was dear in their lives. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are some who are depressed over life circumstances, and they see no way out. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are teens who feel like no matter what they do, it's never right. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are kids who all they want is to fit in and to belong, and it just doesn't seem to work that way. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are marriages that are falling apart, and you don't even know if you're going to survive. I'm talking about right here in this room. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. There are family members who are at odds with one another, and you don't know how to fix it. Can I tell you, you're in the storm. And brothers and sisters, that doesn't encapsulate everything that everybody is going through in this room. But those are just a few things that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt somebody somewhere is dealing with in this room. And I want to tell you, when you're dealing with that kind of stuff, you find yourself in the storm. And when the rain is falling, and when the wind is blowing, and the waves are crashing, and your eyes are teared up, and you're in pain and hurting and trying to figure a way out, sometimes in the midst of the storm, you can't see the Lord walking on the sea. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, it becomes difficult. He looks weird and different and spooky to you. And yet it's God trying to come to you, but you can't see him because of what you've been going through. Is there a witness in the house that wouldn't mind being honest for just a little bit and say, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I've been in a storm. I've had a tough time. I've been going through some stuff. It ain't been real easy. I've been through the storm. And sometimes when you're in the storm, sometimes when you're going through stuff, sometimes when you're having a tough time, it makes it very difficult to see the Lord. It makes it very hard to understand that he's walking on the sea. You know, the sea of life brings you all kinds of stuff, but I'm sure glad that I got a Lord who walks over it. I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing that you're going to bring to God that God's going, oh no, wow, that's too big. God's walking on top of it saying everything's all right. You know? Everything's all right. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't lose yourself. Everything's all right. So sometimes because of the storm, we don't be able to see the Lord. Look, let me teach you a couple of things about the storm very quickly. Number one, the storm teaches you things. The storm teaches you things. I've often had people ask, why do I have to go through this? I don't know. But I do know that God has got something that he's trying to show you. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why you had to have this and have that. I don't know. But there's something that the Lord is trying to teach you through the storm. Let me say, secondly, the storm... He's trying to teach you something, but he's also giving you a story. You say, what do you mean? He's giving you a story. Do you understand that sometimes God will do something to you so he can help somebody else? Y'all didn't hear me. Sometimes God will do something to you so that he can help somebody else. God will make stuff happen in your life and you sit there and go, I don't understand why this is going on with me. But what you didn't get is God was giving you a story because somebody down the road needed to hear what you had to say. Can I give you an example of that? I see Bro Jeff sitting out here. I used to appreciate being in his college and career class. You know what I appreciated about it? Everybody, most people know Bro Jeff. You know, he's got a great personality and he's a nice guy and all that. We have fun and everything. But you know what I love more than anything? Because when I was growing up, I was going through the storm. You know what I love? When he would sit down and he'd break down and he'd talk to us real about what he went through. About the times when he wanted to give up and quit and he wasn't coming to church and, boy, tears flowing out of his eyes and trying to encourage us to not do the same. That story meant something to me. Because I'm sitting out there going, I don't know if I can make this. And because God put him through what he went through, he was able to tell me, you'll be all right. Just hold on. See, sometimes God will give you a storm so you can help somebody else. And brother, I appreciate that. I'm glad that some people didn't let the storm take them out. They realized God was giving them a story. So sometimes the storm will take you away from being able to see the Lord. Let me say, secondly, sometimes the struggle will cause you not to see Jesus. Look at verse number 48 again. Look at that first part that says, and he saw them toiling and rolling. And he saw them toiling and rolling. You know what they were doing? They're sitting up there trying to pedal. They were having a tough. Man, they were really going through it. And boy, they're trying to get through this storm. And they're just, man, I don't know if we can do this anymore. We're going to keep trying. And boy, they were toiling and they're rowing. And the Lord saw that. Can I tell you, they were struggling. You say, what's the difference between a storm and a struggle? The storm is what you've gone through. The struggle is how you're dealing with it. There is a difference. The struggle is how you're dealing with it. You've gone through some stuff, but everybody deals with it differently. And so these fellas were struggling in their storm, and they're trying to get through, and they're trying. Can I just talk real with y'all for a moment? Just for a moment, I promise. Just real with you for a moment. You know, sometimes when you're going through the struggle, it don't look real pretty. You know, sometimes you don't look exactly how everybody thought you should have looked and how you should have said it and how you should have done it. And, you know, you're not Mr. Perfect Christian when you're going through the struggle. Is it okay if I say that? You know, sometimes you're sweating a little bit and some pain is in you and you're having a tough time. And, you know, I'm trying to be the good Christian I ought to be, but I'm sorry I didn't smile as much as you thought I should have because I'm struggling. I'm having a tough time. I'm really going through some things. Don't get down on somebody because they're going through the struggle. The struggle is not the issue. The issue is what will you do with it? Don't, man, you see somebody come in with a long face and you could tell, you know how you say something. Man, they must really be going through something. Get down on folks. Don't look bad at them. You know, sometimes they're toiling and they're rowing. Man, I'm sorry, I know I don't look real good right now. Man, I got waves all over me. I got dirt all over me. Ooh, the mud is kicking up. I'm having a tough time. I don't know if I'm going to make it through. I'm just trying. Please, please, please don't turn your back on me. Don't think I'm no good. Please don't talk about me. Don't make me feel bad. I'm sorry. I'm toiling. I'm in my rowing, but I'm trying to go forward. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. Please understand. I'm struggling. I'm struggling. We've got to understand that when you live this Christian life, when you go through the storm, there's a struggle that follows. That struggle could be right in the midst of your storm. But sometimes that struggle can be after your storm. Can I talk to people who've lost loved ones? You understand this. You went through it when they died. But you really went through it when you had to have the first holiday. You had to have the first birthday. You had to look across the table and see they weren't there anymore. You really went through it then. You struggled. And boy, you're trying to make it. You're trying to make it. I just wish God's people would understand that. When we see somebody rowing and see somebody toiling and the sweat is pouring and the pain is there and the hurt. And you know what? Maybe they don't look how we think they ought to look. But brother, I wish somebody could look across and say, man, good night. They're struggling. It's all right. At least they're still with it. At least they're still trying to make it. At least they're still trying to keep going. The struggle can mess you up sometimes. It can really get you down. Can I give you some words of advice? When you're going through the struggle, as I talked about in the storm, God has given somebody a story to help you as you go through your struggle. You know what's sad? I'm just going to be honest. I may never get to preach again, so I'll just be honest. But you know what's sad to me? I watch people in church all the time. It cracks me up. We're more interested in trying to talk to somebody that tickles us and makes us laugh and feels real good, pats us on the back, tells us everything's wonderful. And that's all our buddies. That's our friends. That's all right. Amen, Brother Larry. That's all our friends right there. You know, we got somebody that, you know, oh yeah, man, me and him, we see everything just alike and we have a good time. And brothers and sisters, listen to me. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. That's okay. But when you're going through the struggle, you know what you need? You need somebody who's gone through a struggle before. You need somebody who's not only gone through a struggle before, but they came out. And when you look back, you can say, wow, you know, I saw them go through it, but I also saw them come out, and now they can help me as I'm trying to pass through. That's what I need. I'm not against you having your friends and your pals and your buddies, but you know what? Let me go look at that guy who doesn't look real happy back there. And you know, I see you're not smiling real much, but man, I've watched you. You've come to church every week and you've done everything you're supposed to do. And you've read that Bible and you've kept faithfully. You've done, hey brother, how can you help me? We've got to understand that sometimes there are people who have come out who would have the ability to help us as we're going through the struggle. I need somebody to come out and give you a quick story. When my mother died, I got a good friend at work who's twice my age. You know, he's in his late 60s. And good friend. I appreciate him very much. And, you know, he never really said much to me when my mother died. And I always thought that was kind of weird. I'm like, man, I thought we were friends. You know, he never really said nothing. He never really, you know, had much to say. And a couple of years after my mom died, his mother died. And God being my witness, that man came up to me and said, hey, Larry, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure. And he said, you know, I watched you when your mom died. And he said, I could tell you were struggling. He said, I didn't want to say anything because I really didn't know what to say. But he said, but I noticed it seems like you've gotten past it. He said, you know, my mom just died. And I'm talking to God twice my age. My mom just died. How did you do it? How did you do it? How'd you do it? Why would a guy who doesn't even go to church have more sense than God's people to get around somebody who's been through the struggle and who has come out and who can help me to get through mine? I wouldn't want somebody else to have more sense than God's people. Good night. We got to work on that. Let me give you a couple other things. You know what really catches my attention about this struggle? Look again at verse number 48. This is amazing to me. This is amazing to me. The Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing. So Jesus is across the sea here. He looks across and he sees them struggling. And the Bible says, read on in verse 48, he says, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. So he came to them because he saw them going through some stuff. And he said, you know, I got to go help these fellas. But here's the part that just blows my mind. Keep reading. The Bible says that he comes to them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. And would have passed by them. Can you imagine the Lord came to help them, and yet when he got there, he was going to walk right by? You ever wonder that when you read that? He came to help them, but the Bible says he was going to walk by. Do you believe the Bible? The Bible says he was going to walk by. How is it that the Lord came to help him, but then when he got there, he was going to walk right past? Let me give you an answer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God was looking for their faith. You say, how do you know that? Here it is. When they looked out, all they saw was a scary, strange, spooky spirit. God knew that they could not see him. He knew it. That's why he was going to walk past. He wanted them to do something to prove that they were believing he could help. He wanted them to do something. Okay, prove that. Look at verse number 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. Now they're seeing them and they're still troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So when they saw him, they were still troubled. But when they heard him, they believed him. You say, how does that get to faith? Well, the Bible says faith cometh by. Is that not what the book says? Faith cometh by hearing. In John 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, which was made flesh, was walking on the sea. They couldn't see Him, but when they heard the Word, when they heard what the book had to say, it was made flesh. All of a sudden, they everything's going to be all right. We know now we got faith because now we hear what He's saying. We couldn't see Him, but we could hear Him. And brothers and sisters, sometimes when you go through the storm, sometimes when you go through the struggle, understand this, you may not see Him, but you can believe Him and hear Him. And if you'll do that, God will bless you. He won't walk by. He'll come on into the ship. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in a storm. I don't want to be in a struggle and have Jesus walk by. I don't want to be sitting up there praying and crying out. See, that's our problem. We think God's going to come simply because something's wrong. We got our theology messed up, folks. God does not simply come and help you because something's wrong. God comes and helps you because you've asked Him and believed Him for it. Jesus Christ Himself said that when Elisha went to go help the widow, He said there was all kinds of widows in Israel, and He never went to them, but He went to a widow in another land. Why? Because she had faith. And if you'll have some faith, God will come to your house when He wouldn't go to somebody else's. God will come bless you when He wouldn't come bless somebody else. When He walked past them, He'll come get in your ship. The struggle is another reason why we can't see God. I'm about to wind this down. Number three. Why couldn't they see Him? Look at verse number 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You can't see Him because we've lost our softness. We've lost our softness. Can I tell you a side effect of what happens when you go through some stuff? You get hard. You can't help it. You don't mean to. Nobody would look God in the face and say, I just don't. Nobody would do that. But it's human nature that when you really get taken under by the circumstances of life, your heart becomes hard. That's why when you preach messages and stuff, people sit out there and our hearts are hard. I'm trying to help some of y'all. I wish you'd hear what I'm saying. Your hearts are hard. Our hearts are hard. And we're so mad. And look, you're not mad at me. You're not mad at preacher. You're not mad at any. You're mad at what you've gone through and you can't take it anymore. And when you're hard, you can't receive what God has to say. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to let go of that hardness. The Bible says that they were hard because they did not consider what God had already done. They were hard. And so you had the softness of the heart that would cause you to be able to see God. See, the storm and the struggle will make your heart hard. And when you can't see God, you're going to have to start to listen. So by faith, you can receive Him so that your heart can be softened again. Would you do me a favor? Look at Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And I promise you, I'm about done here. Matthew chapter number 11. And let's look at verse number 2. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 2. The Bible says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist is the same one who looked at the Lord and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And yet, here he is now sending his disciples and say, go ask him if he's the one or not. How did he get to that? John's heart had become hard. Why? Because John had been in a storm. He's in prison. What's he in prison for? Doing what the Lord had asked him to do. He's in prison. And sometimes when you're in prison, you say things and you do things that you normally wouldn't have. And so he asked this question back to the Lord, but I want you to see, and I'm going somewhere with this, and you'll see this whole sermon come together. In verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Here's what Jesus said. John asked him about the future. He said, are you he who is to come? He's talking about the Messiah. He said, are you the one that's supposed to die for us? And Jesus answers him back talking about the past. You ever read that and thought about that? He asks him a question about the future, yet God talks to him about the past. Now, why does he do that? This is what he was saying, John. The deaf can hear. John, the blind can see. John, the lame can walk. John, the dumb can speak. He said, John, I've done all these things. If you could believe what I've done back here, you can have confidence about what I'm finna do. He said, I don't have to answer you about the future. I know what I did in the past. He said, oh, I'm about to get sad. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Please listen to me. You've gone through some stuff. And I mean, you went through it. And God has provided for you in ways you would have never thought. In ways that you would have never imagined. And you know what God wants you to do? God wants you to look back at the past and to see those miracles and to see what he's done. And to be able to have confidence that the future is going to be all right because of what he already accomplished. Where's your miracle? Anybody up in here had God do something for them? Anybody know what it means to have God work something out? And boy, my goodness, when you start to realize that, man, the deaf can hear, the blind can see, the lame can walk. My goodness, my bill got paid that one time when I didn't have enough money. Oh, my daughter was astray, but she got saved. Oh, my mama was real sick, but God raised her up off the sick bed. Oh, man, I lost my brother. I lost my sister. But you know what? I feel better now. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a place. I'm all right. When you look back and you see what God has done, all of a sudden it gives you excitement for what he's going to do. Let me illustrate this, and I'll shut it down. Josiah, come here. Is he asleep? We'll grab him. Poor kid. Well, I tell you, I want y'all to see this. It's only his second week at church, so have patience over here. It's all right. All right. So, this is my son Josiah, my favorite son in the whole wide world. I love my little man. See, some of y'all will understand this because you were here. Some of you won't. When he was born, he was a preemie. Born 3 months early. He was 1 pound 9 ounces. He fit in the palm of my hand. They had to send him up north so he could be in one of those special neonatal units so they could watch over him day and night. To take care of all the problems that he had. His lungs were underdeveloped. They were worried about brain activity. He had heart trouble. Breathing off of a respirator. Can I tell you, we spent a lot of hours crying. Every day they called us with bad news. God be my witness. He had at least six, it might have been more than that, at least six surgeries. The doctors would call and, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that and, you know, we don't know how this is going to turn out. And I'm not mad at the doctors. They're just trying to tell you what they know. But they were telling us, you know, we don't know if he's going to make it. We don't know if he's going to survive. We don't know if he's going to come out. And can I tell you, I wept many times. Can I tell you, I had a real tough time with that. I struggled with that. See, we had prayed and we had wanted to have a child and we had been trying for a long time. And then we finally had one and this is what happens? It was hard. It was difficult. And I remember time after time after time, you know, you want to be in one of the most depressing places in the world, go to a neonatal unit. Those mothers and dads just crying because somebody else's child has died. Because the doctor just gave them some terrible news. Thank God for some of y'all who are in the medical profession for doing what you can. God bless you. A terrible place to have to be. And I remember time and time and time again thinking to myself, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if this is going to happen. These doctors are telling us, I mean, they're the experts, that he's not going to make it. And I'll be honest with you, my heart got hard. I didn't think it was fair. But man, how much more stuff we got to go through? Every time I turn around, there's a problem. I already lost my mama. Now this. Can I just be honest? I had a tough time with it. And I struggled. And I thought to myself, man, this isn't right. This isn't fair. But I remember the day when they called us. They said he could go home. He was a whopping 4 pounds, 7 ounces. Man, he was a slugger. See, to you, he might be a little bit smaller than the other kids and this, that, and the other, but to me, he's my miracle. To you, he might just be a little boy running around and this, that, and the other, but to me, he's my bread and fishes. You know? To you, it might just be another little, well, you know, that's nice, okay, cute little story, but he's my reality that God really does work. Can I testify for a second? Every time that I feel bad, every time I think that I can't make it, every time that I go through something, I look at my fish, I look at my bread, and I say, can I see him now? I sure can. I look at what he has done, and all of a sudden it's different now. I know I can make it. I know things are going to be all right. I know that God's going to bless him. Hey, can you see him now? Can you see God working with your miracles when you look back and see what he's done? Brothers and sisters, you might think to yourself, well, I don't have a miracle that I can talk about. I don't know if things are going to work out for me. The Bible says he loadeth us down daily with benefits. You got something that you can look back to, and it makes you to see him now. Can you see him now? Oh, friend, can you see him now? I know you're in the storm. I know you've gone through the struggle. I know your heart has been broken. But can you see him now? Hey, disciples. If you would have looked back at the bread, if you would have looked back at the loaves, it would have never fooled you who Jesus was walking on that sea. Brothers and sisters, look at your miracles. Look at your miracles. Look at your miracles. Can you see them now? Can you see them now? There's marriages in this room you think ain't going to make it. Can you see them now? There's jobs that I don't know how that's going to work out. Can you see them now? There's financial issues that I'm just not sure that I'm going to be able to provide and make what I need to make. Can you see them now? When is the last time you took a look back so that you could have confidence in the future? Can you see them now? I love my boy. But every time I sit at my table to eat, when I come home at night, I look in my kid's room, and you know what I see? My bread. I see my fish. I see my miracle. And because I do, I can now see the Lord. Can you see him now? Can you see him now? I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. Whoops. I know that sometimes we think, it's just not going to work for me, Brother Larry. But when I take the time and effort to look back, I can have confidence for my future. Can you see him now? I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm talking to somebody today. Would you please open your eyes? He's on the sea. He's there with you. But it takes some faith looking back at what he's already done. to Him now. Can I say real quickly? There might be somebody sitting out here not saved. There's only two ways that you'll see God. You'll see Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross, dying, bleeding for you and for me, suffering shame and agony, paying for every sin that we ever committed. Or you will see Him on a throne, judging you for all the sins that you've committed, condemning you to a place called hell. I don't know about you, but I want to see Him now on Calvary. I want to see Him bleeding and dying for me. I want to see the one who saved my precious soul. I don't want to see Him as judge. I want to see Him as Savior. Can you see Him now? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please, and we'll wrap it up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many people would say, Brother Larry, I don't mind who knows it or who hears it or it's any other, but I just want to say that I've gone through some storms. I've gone through some struggles. I've watched my heart get a little bit hard, but today I understood what it was that you were preaching, and I can see Him now. I can see Him now. If that's you, would you raise your hand up? Well, that's a blessing. I see Him now. This is what I would do, folks. I talked about that God is looking for faith. You know what part of faith is? That would be stepping out of your pew, get down to an altar, and telling God, I can see you now. It's been hard, but I can see you now. I can believe in you. And then let me ask this second question. Is there anybody out here who say, Brother Larry, I do not know 100% sure that I am on my way to heaven. I'm not saved. I do not know how to be saved, and I would love to hear about salvation. If there's anybody in the room, would you lift your hand? We won't embarrass you. We won't make you feel bad. We won't put anybody out there to make a big scene. We just don't want you to see God as judge. We'd love for you to see God as Savior. All right. Maybe you need to get baptized or you need to join the church. In a few minutes, the piano and organ are going to play. And when they do, on the first note, would you come down and would you let the Lord know, I can see you now. If God has spoken to you, you can stand. Come on down to the altar and let God know. Can you see Him now? What is it that you need from Him? What is it that is on your heart and on your mind? Can you see Him now? I wouldn't sit in a pew. I would get down and do whatever I got to do to let God know I can see Him. Can you see Him now? Would you come? Would you be a part?